Nothing could keep him from doing both. Their fates were sealed. 34. Lying beside her, McCreeve buried his fingers in her hair, holding her steady, his gaze on her mouth. When he kissed her, he growled against her lips, "There's my Chloe. It's you." He sounded a shade less drunk and relieved. Chloe was as well. He hadn't made her grovel, and they were in bed together. Waves of energy had begun to wash over her, like a fingertip rippling a still pool of water. Though she hadn't forgiven or forgotten, she was happy to return his kiss. So he needed her to give over control and let him call the plays? Lead the way, coach. Everything he'd promised had excited her. They would have sex, apparently wicked sex, but it wouldn't mean anything. Their tongues twined harder and harder until she was moaning into his mouth. His kiss was shattering. He'd wrapped his strong arms around her, holding her body captive against his, chest to chest, as he ravished her mouth. He didn't break that kiss until she was lightheaded and her lips were good and bruised.
"McCreeve?"
His voice a rasp, he said, "It's you, Chloe. It's you I crave." He gave her another whole-body squeeze, as if he wanted to feel all of her at once. As she lay beside him, his hands dipped down to knead her ass, grinding her mound against his shaft. She could feel the blood-filled heat of it scalding against her.
"Oh, God! Oh, God!"
She threw her leg over his hip, wishing he'd put her beneath him, kneading his weight on top of her.
"I'm going to take you tonight,"
he said, his brogue thick.
"Yes, yes. Just keep grinding," she thought.
"And I'll do it how I need to."
Just as she was puzzling over his words, she felt his big palm land across her ass. Slap! Her reaction shocked her. Sounds she didn't recognize left her lips. She writhed for more, bucking against him. A cool draft of air streamed across the heated skin of her bottom, making her tremble. He grated,
"Now do you understand what the hell that's all about?"
Somehow she found the presence of mind to cry,
"Nope!"
Slap! Her eyes rolled back in her head. She was all but levitating, dimly aware that she'd begun sucking on his neck. She tightened the leg over his hip, her foot spurring him. But he was releasing her. She blinked up at him.
"What? Why?"
"Go to your back. Keep your arms over your head."
She nodded, biting her lip, wondering what he was going to do to her now. He rose to his knees, leaning over her. His lips scorched a path from her neck toward one nipple, closing around it. When he suckled her hard, her back arched sharply. He moved to her other nipple, tormenting the peak with another harsh suck, but she loved it, grasping his head to hold him to her. He nipped her breast.
"Arms!"
She shuddered from his bite, a sexy reminder of who was driving tonight. Her arms collapsed over her head.
"Now, part your legs."
She drew her knees up and spread them, welcoming him. He grated,
"Good lass,"
and knelt between them. He kissed down her belly, each thorough sweep of his lips making her hips rock. Once the backs of her thighs rested over his shoulders, he dipped his head down to nuzzle her thatch of hair.
"McCreeve!"
She flooded with wetness when she realized he was inhaling her scent. His eyes were heavy-lidded when he finally drew back.
"Spread your thighs wider. Let me see what's mine."
She bent her knees, letting her legs fall wide. His gaze was nearly palpable as he peered at her sex. And then he licked his gorgeous lips with such a possessive, predatory look that she almost orgasmed at once. When she'd spread herself in complete surrender, Will's mouth had watered for her honey. He'd been without it for days. He clamped her hips and licked the length of her. His sharp growl of pleasure drowned out her cries.
"Woman, your taste!"
With his second foray, he found her even wetter. He'd be feeding her soon, but right now she was feeding him the sweetest mead he'd ever tasted. He couldn't lap it up quickly enough. Between strokes of his tongue, he said,
"Did you miss me licking your wet cunny? Tonguing it like this?"
He delved deep.
Oh, God, not fair.
She was on the brink. Will wanted to tease her even longer, but his instinct was tolling in his head like a bell.
"Claim your mate."
His beast was already stirring, and Will felt certain his cock was about to explode.
"Going to ready you for me, for the seed I mean to give you."
He slipped a finger inside her, groaning when her untried sheath clenched around it. The moment seemed unreal. He was going to be inside his virgin mate. He could feel her delicate maidenhead, ready for him to claim. He pressed his opened mouth over her clit to suck it till it throbbed between his lips. Her hips tried to shoot up from the bed, but he kept her pinned. Her head thrashed, her drying hair streaming out over the pillow. He wedged a second finger inside her. Brushing kisses against her swollen clit, he said,
"Relax, my sweet, and open for me."
As he probed his fingers, her core stretched around them, her folds swelling in welcome. His beast wouldn't be denied much longer, was baying inside him to possess its female.
"Chloe, look at me."
She cracked open her eyes.
"I'll try to stay in control as long as I can."
He sat up on his knees, positioning himself.
"If I look into your eyes, I might be able to remain with you longer."
He wanted to be above her like this, watching her expressions, mastering her, taking her like a man.
"And if not, I'll be looking into your eyes while you change."
Her voice was miserable. He had his mate in his bed after waiting 9 centuries for her, and she was miserable. Why wouldn't she be? She was about to lose her virginity to what she believed was a monster. With his free hand, he awkwardly brushed her hair from her forehead, trying for tenderness, having no idea how to go about it.
"I'll tell you when to close your eyes. You need to relax again."
He fingered her entrance harder with shallow pumps, coaxing wetness.
"There. That's it, baby. Give me more of that."
Her face was relaxing. Her nipples tightened into stiff little berries. He leaned down for a taste of each, earning a moan and more of her honey. It glistened on his fingers as he thrust them inside her. When he drew his fingers from her, she gave a cry, twisting in the bed, undulating to be filled. His heart sang when she kept her arms above her head.
"You're ready, Chloe."
Was he? 35. With a shaking hand, McCreeve gripped his huge shaft, aiming it between her legs. When he rubbed the crown up and down her sex, she was overwhelmed with the urge to claw his ass and draw him into her. Somehow she prevented herself. Instead, she locked gazes with him, needing him to see that she'd never wanted anything more than this. She'd swear his eyes were telling her the same. She felt pressure at her opening, the crown penetrating her, not to be denied.
"Tight, so tight,"
he groaned. Then the head was inside, pulsing, stretching her. But those twinges felt necessary, right.
No longer a virgin, Chloe.
Good,
he bit out. The tendons in his neck and all the muscles of his torso were straining. He'd begun to sweat, his skin sheening in the firelight. How badly he must need to thrust.
Good.
She felt like she'd waited her entire life for that hot fullness, that feeling of puzzle pieces clicking together. She gazed up at him in surprise.
Really good.
More?
He rasped, vulnerability in his gaze. She nodded, only to regret it immediately when a pinching sensation flared inside her. More was a little much.
It hurts.
His brows drew tightly together.
It'll pass. I promise.
As he pressed deeper, she tried to focus on anything but the pain. She studied his expression. He looked anguished. So much was going on inside his head that she couldn't begin to comprehend. Yet she also saw his eyes flickering blue. How much time did she have until she was supposed to close her eyes and let that thing have her? Will was already fighting not to come inside her impossibly tight cunny, and fighting the beast who wanted its turn with their virgin mate. No, not yet. Will wasn't even all the way in. More hurriedly, he rocked his hips, pushing farther inside. She gritted her teeth, but didn't say anything. Pressure. Everywhere, from his rising beast, from the scorching clutch of her sheath, from his consuming need not to hurt her. Pressure increasing with every inch deeper. Sweat slicked his skin, running down his spine. Finally, he was as far as he could go. Gazing down at her with pride, he bit out,
"You've taken me."
He reached forward to stroke her hair again.
Good girl.
He drew his hips back so he could sink back into that moist heaven. His head fell back as pleasure bombarded him.
Ah, you feel so fucking amazing.
No response. He gazed down.
Chloe?
Her cheeks were flushed, her lips thinned.
It doesn't hurt anymore, but it's not enjoyable.
Somehow, he resisted the tight tug of her sex to pull almost all the way out. Keeping her on the tip, he put his palms under her back, scooping her up to suck on her sensitive breasts. His lips clamped onto a nipple, his arms crisscrossing her back, holding her for the taking.
Oh!
The sound of her delight was almost his undoing.
Better!
She fisted the sheets beside her hips. Will kept himself from thrusting until she was wriggling on the end of his cock, wetting the head for more.
You want it deep inside you?
Deeper.
Laying her back down, he raised himself above her on straightened arms. Sweat dripped from his forehead onto her quivering breasts as he surged his hips forward between her thighs. Her core clenched his every inch, resting a strangled groan from his chest.
Ah, deeper still.
God, yes!
The rapture in her cry. As he rocked his shaft home again and again, she tried to meet his thrusts.
McCreeve, I'm close. More.
Give you what you need.
He was satisfying her. Taking her like a normal man, experiencing pleasure such as he'd never known. In this, he felt as much a virgin as she. He was overwhelmed by how perfect she felt.
Waited my entire life to be inside her.
Don't stop, please.
That was the plea he'd craved.
Say it again.
Please, it's so good.
When he increased his rhythm for her, his beast roared inside him, nigh frenzied to possess her. Will gazed down, seeking the anchor of her gaze. The sight sent an icy chill through him. Her eyes glowed with her arousal.
"Succubus green,"
he hissed. Just like Ruel's. Because Chloe was greedy to feed off his body. When he saw her claws flaring, chills swept over his damp skin. His breaths began to whistle, as if he suffocated under pale flesh.
"Can I get enough air?"
His chest heaved, his lungs burning for breath. Ah, gods, he was losing his erection. No, no, he needed to perform, to provide. This was his mate, and she was hungry. Yet just as he'd feared, he couldn't stay hard, as if his body was refusing to surrender what hers demanded.
"What's wrong? What's happening?"
She rocked on him. Of course she could feel his erection waning. And just like before, he would let his beast rise up to do the dirty work for him.
"Chloe, close your eyes."
His own claws began to lengthen.
"To pierce into her skin, to hold mate steady for seed."
His fangs grew in his mouth.
"To mark her flesh."
"Already?"
She squeezed her eyes closed. Her body trembled against him.
"Will it hurt me?"
"Not on purpose."
His voice was growing distorted, his impulses no longer his own. The beast inhaled deeply of his mate's scent, and his cock responded, swelling like a rod inside her.
"McCreeve, I'm scared."
"No, but the beast aches for you,"
he choked out, right before it took over. Will watched in horror as it maneuvered Chloe to her hands and knees. It dug its claws into her hips, wrenching her back on his shaft, farther than Will had gone. Impaled, she cried as the beast seated itself deeply, positioning her to best receive its savage thrusts. With the beast at the fore, Will bucked into her again and again until he was riding his mate hard, growling over her with delight. She was taking him, moaning. Was she getting wetter? Wishful thinking? Soon he'd spend, soon it'd be over, this deed done. The closer he got to coming, the more his fangs ached to mark her neck, to claim her forever, because his will was not his own. A thread of resentment grew, outdistancing the other feeling that was growing. Obsession. His semen had climbed, about to erupt uncontrollably. The beast tightened its hold on her to better deliver it to her womb, then leaned down to mark her neck. Somehow, just before he ejaculated, Will exerted control for just long enough to prevent that claim. A roar burst from his lungs as his seed jetted out of his cock, torrents so powerful that even the beast shuddered in awe. Between heaving breaths, he bellowed to the ceiling as he filled her over and over, plunging into his own hot spend. Then came that last mind-scrambling draw, a succubus's extra pull.
"So many years distant, yet so familiar."
He quaked violently, powerless as the last of his semen was wrung from him. With a groan, he collapsed atop her shivering body. She was panting, pinned on his length, squirming. He'd been close to satisfying her, yet in the end, she'd found no release. Not like he had.
That last and indescribable pull.
The beast receded reluctantly, Will driving it back. It was normal for a Lyke's beast to praise its mate after sex, licking and kissing her with abandon under the light of the full moon.
"I'm not normal," dark and twisted.
He felt sick. He'd fed a succubus, was hardening inside her even now. No, not again.
2 times is too close to 3.
1/3 of his soul was enough for this night. Without a word, he withdrew from her body, then rose. He dragged on his jeans, breathing deep to cage his beast completely. Her sweet succubus scent filled his senses until he was drowning in it.
Dragging me down.
He ran for the toilet to be sick. 36.
That didn't just happen.
Chloe hadn't known what to expect for her first time, but she'd never imagined she'd get railed from behind by a werewolf, or that her first lover would dash to the bathroom to vomit directly after. She lay stunned on the bed, trying to process everything that had just occurred. All she knew for certain was that he was sickened by sex with her, and that she would never repeat this ever again. At first, she'd thought she could enjoy having him inside her. She'd even been close to orgasm, until he'd started to flag. He'd known it, she'd known it. And then she'd seen him gritting his teeth, endeavoring to get through it, as if sex with her was a grueling last lap to be completed. When that hadn't worked, he'd tagged out with the beast, letting it finish something he was too disgusted to do himself. Fear had assailed her, but when the beast had turned her over and taken her, it hadn't been as bad as she'd thought it would be. She'd even chanced to peek back at McCreeve's wolven face. It hadn't been nearly as terrifying as last time. And she'd realized why. The one time she'd seen the shadow of the beast before, it had been wavering over McCreeve's mask of hatred. Tonight, the beast had gazed at her with possession, with yearning, as if she'd just become its entire world. It had ached for her, just as McCreeve had said. Chloe had responded, reveling in its ferocity, because she'd known that she had provoked that intensity. She'd relished the way its claws had gripped her hips, knowing that it was frantic for her. As frantic as she'd soon grown. Once she'd relaxed again, the pleasure had returned, just harder, more jarring. She'd been smiling into the pillow because the beast of her fears had been fucking her straight toward the most intense orgasm she'd ever imagined. Just when she'd been on the verge of release, she'd felt wave after wave of its semen shooting inside her. She hadn't come, but that seed had been like a balm against her every ache, no pain anywhere, not her ankle or her bruised face. Her energy had been renewed. She'd truly felt immortal. Then it had ended. Then McCreeve had returned. He'd just finished vomiting. She heard him filling a glass of water at the sink. She'd always considered herself thick-skinned. Rub some dirt on it, right? But with this, there was no upside. Will lurched from the bathroom, trying not to notice as Chloe stared blankly at the wall, sheet clutched to her throat.
Allay. Comfort.
How could he comfort her when he still felt like he was suffocating? He descended the stairs, heading straight to the liquor cabinet. As he cracked open another bottle and took a generous slug, he comprehended the hopelessness of his situation. She would always be a succubus. He would always hate her kind. Some part of him would resent his mate for eternity, blaming her for things she'd had no part in, blaming her whenever she needed to feed.
My will is not my own.
He heard her scurrying to the shower. It sounded like she was frantically scrubbing herself. Not a good sign. And he thought he heard her crying. the sound echoing in the shower stall. Just as Ruel had made him cry during his first time, so Will had made Chloe. She'd never spilled a tear in all those soccer clips, had never cried from his many insults.
I am the villain. Slight here.
As Monroe had warned. How horrifying for her to be taken by the beast, while Will had experienced unequaled pleasure. Another remarkable milestone for an ancient immortal.
Yeah, I'm not sated.
Already he wanted her again. Her strew must linger. Another throat-burning chug. He sank down in one of the chairs before the waning fire, staring at the embers. He didn't want to hate her. She didn't deserve it. So what to bloody do? Mayhap he needed to talk to someone. Naturally, his first impulse was to call his twin, but Monroe would just rail over Will's treatment of his Dreyfus. So Will collected his sat phone from the bag he'd left in the great room and dialed Nix, having no expectation that she'd answer. She picked up almost immediately.
Are you calling about the ad?
Ad?
For the gently used Bentley for sale? It has 0 miles.
Well, that explained the backward driving.
It's me, McCreeve.
You lay me! How good to hear from you. Scotland must be beautiful. I'm currently out with Mariketta, Regan, and Caro. We're doing rescue work.
He swigged, not even surprised she knew his location.
Aye, collecting order orphans. Malcolm Slane told me.
In the background, Will heard what sounded like a multitude of bairns spatting, demonic wails, baby roars and hisses, and what he thought might be a van rocking on its shocks. Nix said,
I'm nodding. We've gathered demonlings, ankle-biters, and a couple of centaur fools, just to name a few.
I need your help, soothsayer. You and I, we've definitely re-broken that bone, aye?
He said, his bitterness undisguised.
Yet it's still not right. I've bollocksed this up with my mate.
I know, she said sadly.
I do not want to treat her this way.
He began to pace.
How do I keep myself from hating her just for what she is?
Why don't you work on her hatred of you?
Nix asked.
Win her, and perhaps you can be won over.
How?
Lyca can be so smooth. Charming tricksters who cajole what they want. Woo her, Wolf.
I do not believe she can be won by me.
Just saying those words brought on a swell of despair.
You haven't exactly made it easy for her.
The back of his neck heated. So Nix had seen what he'd done to Chloe?
Yes, I see all, Wolf, and by all...
You mean some. If you saw enough, then you ken why she will not want me again. My beast came out in full force. It was not gentle.
You need to talk to her. Confide in her. Tell her what happened to you.
Never.
For Will, a Lyca male from a warrior clan and a line of sentinels, the only thing worse than being molested by Ruel for 4 years would be to admit it to his mate. How could he even introduce the topic?
We need to talk about why I subconsciously despise you. When I came, you see, your last greedy pull harkened back to a time when my seed was taken by one of your ilk. Because my disgust ruled me tonight, I withheld my claiming bite from you.
The sounds of the bairn's tiff grew louder, the rocking more pronounced. Nix told Will,
Lovely. Demonling horns just punctured the roof of our rental vehicle. Hold, please.
Then to the children she said,
I told you Bertil would bite if you pull his legs. Now cut out that caterwauling, or Auntie Nixie will eviscerate you.
Will thought he heard the witch Mariketta saying brightly,
Auntie Nixie meant to say no ice cream.
Then Mariquetta snorted.
You might have overcommitted on younglings, Regan.
The Valkyrie Regan answered,
Dude, don't you judge me. And where's the fucking fire extinguisher?
I've returned, said Nix in a dry tone. You have much to resolve for yourself, Wolf. Don't make me regret placing Chloe in your care.
Why did you? You're the one who told the witches about her, are you not? To get her to the auction. If you could find her, then you can find Webb.
At least he'd gotten some measure of revenge against the man. Webb's daughter had just been defiled by a Lyca beast. He winced at his thoughts.
You sick prick. That's your mate you're gloating over.
He clasped his forehead, squeezing till he thought his skull would cave in.
Webb has a role to play with the bringers of doom. He's not to be touched,
Nick said.
And I helped you because I trusted that you would find your feet with this.
What if I canna?
Do you know what's so strange, Uyum?
She asked, saying his name perfectly.
You have never in your entire life done something for which you should truly be ashamed. You think you have, but you haven't. Not until you hurt your own mate, blaming the poor girl for things she can't control.
His mouth went dry.
Will she change?
When Nix didn't answer, he said,
She has spirit and courage. Will she change to become like Ruel?
No, but you won't know that, because she'll be gone.
His legs felt weak.
Nix! No!
He sank back against the wall.
Mark my words, Wolf. Bury your past, or it will bury you.
Click. 37. An hour after his call with Nix, Will found Chloe sitting on the floor in the pantry, trying to choke down an apple. Whiskey bottle in hand, he sank down beside her, tugging the apple from her.
That time has passed for you, lass. Never to return.
Her eyes were puffy from crying, her nose red, but luckily no more tears fell. The mere idea of her crying had gutted him. To see her tears.
I could not stand it.
I can still drink.
She reached for his bottle, swigged heartily, gasped.
Aye, but you cannot eat food.
I can do a liquid diet, or what about an IV? Something surgical.
With an eureka expression, she cried,
Artificial insemination!
Her panic set him on edge. She was this desperate because she'd hated sex with him. Yet another unsatisfied succubus.
Or mayhap you can do as nature intended you to. Your face has healed. Your colors returned.
When he reached for the bottle, she absently relinquished it.
Nature didn't intend for sex to be humiliating like that. Some parts were unbearable.
Unbearable? Her words gave him chills. Any male in a potentially eternal relationship would react thus.
My mate hates sex.
He had no call to expect different, but still he said,
It was not that bad. You got to feed, and I didn't mean to humiliate you.
Surely he hadn't.
Slight you,
his conscience whispered.
You will not have pain next time. Things will go better between us.
Next time? Are you listening to me at all?
Probably not an ideal moment to remind her about the full moon in 2 nights. His beast would be even more powerful. If Will hadn't built up her strength by then...
There's got to be a way for me to forego sex. If those witches can camouflage me, maybe they can fix me.
Fix? She felt broken.
Because of me.
Ruel used to blame all her failings on him. Had he done the same with Chloe? He cleared his throat.
Mayhap you're not the one who's broken.
Other males would easily love her. If he hadn't been twisted by a succubus, he would have lost his heart to the lass beside him.
Not broken? She cried. Now you're going to screw with my head? To survive in the lore, I'm supposed to drug and rape men? You think I don't know how wrong that is?
He'd never expected her to agree with him about the nature of succubi.
When I started changing, my dad abandoned me, remember? You were quick to remind me of that. You relished telling all of the lore how he discarded me like trash.
Her eyes watered.
Not to mention how you've reacted to my change.
Chloe.
I lost everything that day. My career, my remaining family, my friends, my team. You were the only constant in my crazy life, but you did a total 180, bullying and insulting me. You had to get sheen wasted tonight to take me to bed.
Gazing up at the ceiling, she murmured,
I can't believe my first lover vomited after being with me.
Will scrubbed his hand over his face, embarrassment scalding him.
Your first lover, and your last. And he will not do so next time.
She faced him with an incredulous expression.
You can't control your reaction to me any more than you can your beast.
You'll get used to that part of me. You'll have to. It's inseparable from who I am, like a soul. I can understand why you might hate my beast, but you should not blame it, for it does not reason.
You think that's the problem? At least the beast looked at me with yearning, with desire. It's you that's the problem.
What does that mean?
Your beast has accepted me. You never will. And unfortunately, you come back. If I ever have sex again, I don't want to open my eyes to see your back as you beat feet for the toilet.
Could this get any more shaming?
And I might not have any experience, but I know what whiskey dick is.
What the hell are you talking about?
McCreeve Jr. took a T.O. right before the beast substituted in.
Aye, it can get more shaman, he thought.
He drank deep.
Chloe, just know this. Sex for me is complicated.
She turned to him with owl eyes.
No!
Aye, smartass. It has not always been pleasant or rewarding. Mayhap, I thought of a past time. Mayhap, it affected me.
Then tell me about the past time.
All you need to know is that I'm working through it. It will not factor in the future.
You're right about that.
When she snapped her fingers for the bottle, he handed it over, watching her take a healthy gulp.
Because I will never have sex with you again.
He stabbed his fingers through his hair.
Damn it, lass, you're a cambion. If you refuse to feed, I do not know what will happen to you.
Against the rim of the bottle, she murmured, Maybe I'll die and you'll be off the hook. When Nix had said Chloe would be gone, had the soothsayer meant gone as in left, or gone as in lost? His chest constricted, strangling his breaths for an entirely different reason.
Whiskey,
he bit out. Frowning, she handed it to him. There they sat, passing the bottle, holed up together on the floor in the goddamned pantry.
You think I could be off the hook if my mate died?
He repeated her words.
Have you been listening to me at all?
Oh, yeah, because you think you'd have to follow me. But never fear, I'm sure that only applies to beloved mates. Since you hate me, you should get a pass.
You belong with me,
he said simply.
Tell me why I should stay. Why shouldn't I run now that I'm healed?
His lips drew back from his fangs.
Because I will catch you.
Ugh! You could not suck worse.
She was shaking beside him, her body filled with fury.
Wrong. Everything's wrong.
He pulled on the collar of his loose T-shirt, puzzled by how tight it felt around his neck.
All my fault.
You know, sometimes I do this thing where I assess my life's field position, getting a lay of where I am, she said. I've been in this pantry evaluating my field position, the most important one of my life.
And what have you determined?
That we can never be happy together. So it's in your best interest to cut ties with me. He opened his mouth to tell her that wouldn't be happening, but she continued, Don't worry, I don't expect you to let me go, because you're not a fair man. No, he wasn't. So why did her words sting so badly? In that case, what do you plan to do with me? Keep me here, isolated, until I go crazy? She met his gaze. You can keep me here for centuries, and at the first opportunity, I will blaze. Do you understand me? I will always look for a way out, because you will never change.
You speak of change as if it's easy. I'm 9 centuries old. I do not alter my course so easily as you might.
At least it's possible for you. I can't change, ever. I can accept your beast, but you can't accept things in me that I can't control? She squeezed her temples. And not only that, you're constantly treating me with scorn, making me feel like shit about myself. Her irises glowed green with anguish. I can't sit around here and let you convince me that I'm nothing but an evil, worthless succubus. I won't do that. When her eyes filled with tears, his widened.
You're crying?
He gazed at her in astonishment. She was always so strong, seeming invincible. She'd acted unaffected by his barbs.
This is twice, he said inanely.
He'd never had a mate. He'd never had a mate cry. He and his beast were roiling.
Chloe, look at me.
When she buried her head in her hands and started sobbing, his stomach felt torn apart as if he'd been stabbed, and the knife was steadily turning in his gut, twisting with no end, like the second hand of a clock. Tick, tick, tick.
Get used to me crying, or let me go!
McCreeve pulled her hands from her face. He looked as if her tears were wrecking him, and still, after everything, some part of her regretted causing him pain.
Hakana, Chloe.
She ran her sleeve over her damp cheeks.
Then at least tell me why you hate me. I'll figure out a way to make this situation better for both of us, but I can't shoot for a net that I can't see.
His eyes were stark. There was clearly so much going on in his head. Yet he'd rather let her dangle in the dark than share any of it.
Damn it, answer me! What did I do to you?
When he said nothing, she snatched the bottle from him and flung it from the pantry. It shattered in the next room.
What did I do?
Nothing! He roared.
Then for God's sake, why are you treating me like this?
He gazed away.
No! Don't you look away!
Clambering up on her knees, she dug her hands into his hair, pulling him back to face her. They stared into each other's eyes, both out of breath.
Tell me!
I felt rage toward your species. I know I've been taking it out on you, but I do not know how to stop.
Did that mean he wanted to stop? The tiniest spark of hope began to burn inside her. She released him, her tears drying.
What happened to you? Tell me.
With a wary nod, he parted his lips. He seemed to be trying to answer her, but only his breath whistled out.
McCreeve?
What was going on here? He was a powerful, courageous immortal, yet he'd been rendered mute by whatever had injured him in the past. He pulled on his collar.
Hakana, breathe.
His voice broke low.
Hakana.
Rising unsteadily, she murmured,
I've got to have a net to aim for, MacReeve.
He said nothing. That spark guttered out. With a last glance, she left him sitting alone.
I want my mate.
As Will walked the halls of Connell early into the morning, pacing like a resident ghost, that one thought kept surfacing. He didn't want to sleep alone, to wake up alone. Chloe had gone to bed hours ago, all but passing out from the whiskey. When he'd gone to join her, she'd shaken her head warningly as if to say, "Do it and die." He'd been so busy thinking about how he'd been injured that he hadn't considered or cared about how vulnerable and hurt she'd been. All those years ago, he'd categorized Ruel's tears as antics. In truth, they'd been tactics. Chloe's tears had been raw and real, and she'd told him to get used to them. He assessed his own field position. Watching Chloe cry had hurt him worse than his recent tortures, had taken more from him than Dixon had. He'd rather die than cause Chloe more pain. If her eyes glowed green again, it should be because of pleasure. Would he ever see that? He returned to the hearth, stirring the embers. Short of being seared clean by flames, how could he get right? Nix had said, "Bury your past, or it'll bury you." He knew burying his past wasn't possible. It was too much a part of him. But he could hide the worst of this if it meant Chloe might accept a life with him. Will would never be able to give her his all, yet mayhap he could give her enough? His phone rang then. Monroe. Bracing himself, Will answered.
"I was about to take the lads out to Errol's," Monroe said in a measured tone. "Thought I'd check in first."
Fearing the worst?
"We arrived without incident. She sleeps now, or I'd let you talk to her. She enjoyed her new clothes and was grateful for them."
He scrubbed his hand over his face.
"I read your message. You think I should remain here?" "And where the hell will you be?" he thought.
Will's recent imprisonment was the longest span they'd ever been separated.
"I may not like living apart from you. That makes two of us. But mayhap that's the way, now that you've got your female. Besides, one of us should manage our family's lands. I've thought about this for years, figuring whoever found his mate first should live there. This is your chance to reclaim your home. And your past."
"My past?"
Monroe asked, "Well, did you—"
"I."
When Monroe let out a relieved breath, Will admitted,
"It didn't go well. There were, some issues, but I want to get past them."
"Are you prepared to take her venom bond?"
Will swallowed audibly, hoping the sound didn't carry over a transatlantic call.
"I've accepted that I have no choice but to do so. I can't lose her. Damn it, I need your thoughts on this."
"Tell me what happened."
Will was so desperate for help that he relayed everything that had occurred, stinting on few details. He told his brother what Nix had said.
"You've much to make up for, Will. I agree with Nix that you need to win Chloe."
"How?"
He'd lost some serious ground tonight.
"It's very simple," Monroe began. "In the morn—"
By the end of the call, 15 minutes later, Will felt somewhat heartened. At least he had a plan. He made his way up to the master suite, back to his mate. Pausing in the doorway, he watched the moon stream through the windows, bathing her beautiful face in silvery light. Her nose was no longer red from crying. Her eyes weren't puffy. Unlike Ruel, his Chloe did not cry prettily. because her grief was sincere. He crossed to the bed, sitting beside her. When he brushed locks from her forehead, she cracked open her eyes.
"What are you doing?"
she asked, her words slurring.
"It's not time for my special shot yet."
Not a promising beginning.
"Chloe, what would it take to start anew with you?"
Hopelessness settled over him when she murmured,
"More than you've got."
Yet then he reminded himself,
"She has not seen all I've got."
38.
"I feel amazing,"
Chloe thought bitterly as she tromped down the steps that morning. She had energy again, wasn't even sore from the night before. Because of him. Fucker. After she'd vented in the pantry and returned to bed, the whiskey had hit her like a tsunami. Before she passed out, she would have sworn the entire keep had been spinning. Later in the night, McCreeve had awakened her. She barely remembered what they'd talked about, but she thought he'd mentioned starting anew. Then he'd stroked her hair and tucked her in, much as he had those first two nights at the compound. She'd missed it. She'd missed the side of McCreeve she'd first known. What would she encounter when she faced him today? Surly and abusive, or charming and sexy? She strode into the kitchen, then stopped short. McCreeve was shirtless in a pair of low-slung, broken-in shorts, drinking orange juice straight out of the jug. Her lips parted, her gaze lovingly taking in all his rigid muscles, then sliding lower to that ink-black goody trail. She wanted to nuzzle it like he'd done between her legs last night.
"No, don't think about that."
He finished his drink and swiped his forearm over his mouth.
"We've got a busy day planned."
She blinked to attention. "Doing what?"
"You're to go running with me."
She arched a brow.
"Running?
Exploring the Scottish countryside?" Her new gear upstairs was just waiting for her. Then she remembered her situation. Her next play wasn't running with him, it was running from him.
"Why don't you go by yourself? I could kick back and watch TV."
"Escape. Then we could meet up later.
Never see each other again."
The thought brought on another pang. Did Dojo Dummy still want him?
"I'd leave you to flee? Not likely."
He set down the jug, moving in closer to back her against the counter until she could feel the heat emanating from his bare chest and bask in his tempting scent. His voice was husky when he said,
"I'm never letting you go, lass."
His nearness piqued her desire, one that had nothing to do with hunger.
"Do you remember what I said early this morning?"
he asked.
"Yes.
Mostly."
"I want to try this again with you. I'm offering an olive branch. Will you take it?"
She shook her head, saying, "Fool me once. McCreeve, you were all I had, and you turned on me. What if you find out something else that you hate about me?"
"I was wrong. I am apologizing. I want a chance to win my mate back."
"Give me one good reason why I should trust this." Again, she felt like she was running with a cleat and a climbing boot. Would she ever feel on kilter with him? He leaned way down to say at her ear,
"Because for a time last night, you liked me moving inside you very much."
Her cheeks heated. "Right. Now, if only you had liked it, Whiskey Dick." He drew back with a scowl.
"Stop saying that, woman. I dinna have... never bloody mind."
He clamped the counter on either side of her, caging her in, peering down at her with intent golden eyes.
"Do no mistake what happened. Being inside you felt incredible. And whether the beast was at the fore or no, I still came so hard, my bollocks begged for mercy."
"Must have been nice,
For you. Not so much for me. Out of those dozen orgasms you promised, you were 12 short.
A flush spread over his chiseled cheekbones.
I'm keen for a rematch tonight.
Ha! Your last attempt at goal went way wide, not even close. As a matter of fact, you got red-carded out of the game.
With his smoldering gaze boring into hers, he grated,
I want back N.
Her lips parted at the double entendre. His eyes were promising her a hot, thorough taking. She feared hers were begging for it. She darted her gaze away. He tucked her hair behind her ear.
I've been up all night thinking about us.
Is there an us?
I want there to be.
McCreeve, I haven't even agreed to go running with you, much less to being the verbally abused half of your us.
I vow to the Lord that I will never speak to you that way again.
He said this as solemnly as a groom would a wedding vow.
At length, she said, I'll go, but only because I'm jonesing for a run.
She ducked under his arm, then headed toward the stairs, muttering over her shoulder,
Need to change.
As she hurried up to her room, she wondered if she could trust his sincerity. One minute he hated her, the next he was offering her an olive branch with orgasms on top. Why had he changed so drastically? She wished she could read his cues better. He was like a skilled opponent telegraphing fake plays to keep her running in circles. She sensed that anything he'd told her about himself was underscored with countless things he hadn't. She frowned, remembering some of what he'd revealed last night when she'd been too tipsy to analyze it. Sex for him was complicated, and it hadn't always been pleasant or rewarding. What guy didn't find sex pleasant? Right before he'd lost his erection last night, he'd said, succubus green about her eyes. Later he'd confessed that the reason he'd flagged was because he'd thought of a past time, because Chloe's succubus eyes had reminded him. Oh, dear God. Monroe had told her that his family had been harmed by a succubus, so Chloe had figured someone they loved had been seduced by one. She now suspected that the victim had been McCreeve, and that there'd been no seduction.
Do you have any idea what it's like to have no control of your mind? He'd asked. Your body.
And then he'd told her that maybe she wasn't the one who was broken. It wasn't a big leap to connect everything together.
No wonder he hated Chloe. No wonder he'd vomited after sex with her. For a man that big and strong to have reacted so violently.
Her eyes watered with sympathy. He hadn't even been able to speak of it, his breath hitching again and again. She sank down on the bed.
McCreeve had been trying to tell her, and physically couldn't.
Everything about Chloe must have reminded him of whatever bitch had raped him. Considering this, she was surprised he hadn't been even more hateful toward her. Oh, and added to that,
my dad recently had him tortured.
She fell back across the bed, throwing her arm over her face, beaning her forehead with her new bracelet. Despite all this, McCreeve had offered her an olive branch. So what should she do with this newfound comprehension? Confront him? He might go ballistic again. Start over? He might hurt her again.
That's my man,
her heart seemed to cry. And now that damned hope spark was back. Soccer hadn't been easy. Stanford definitely hadn't, but she'd never given up on either. Maybe she shouldn't with McCreeve. She sat up. She still had feelings for him. Still experienced that sense of connection to him. She liked his clan, actually missed them. She needed sex to live. Sex with McCreeve had held such promise. What were her other options? If she escaped, where would she go and how would she live? Would she be driven out every night looking for sustenance, feed?